Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, I invite you to open your Bibles over to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. We continue our sermon series on prayer for renewal. And we move into chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 to receive further training from our Lord Jesus about such kind of prayer in his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, I'll read it out loud and ask you to follow along. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray your Spirit would descend upon us and animate your people to a rich, profoundly real prayer life with the Father through Christ. Lord, we know that we do not live up to that full potential that you have created us to enjoy in deep, prayerful communion. So many obstacles in our day and age, so many ways to plug in and tune out to the things of God, that we pray you would renew, revive, and refresh us and our enjoyment of prayer. Be our teacher, we humbly pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we finished our study on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But you'll not be surprised, I hope, to find that the topic of prayer reoccurs again in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7. And one reason it occurs again is to teach us a valuable lesson. Prayer is absolutely indispensable to a fruitful Christian life. For renewal and revival and revitalized Christian living that actually lives out the Sermon on the Mount, we need prayer now. Take chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7. Probably the most famous sermon ever preached in humankind. Probably the most famous sermon known about Jesus in and outside of Christendom. And in chapter 5, for example, we must ask this question: how will we do all the things Jesus commands us to do? How will you and I, for example, chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? Tell me that. How will we escape the murderous thoughts in our brain or that mental adultery in our eyes? How will we let our yes be yes, our no be no? How will you turn the other cheek and walk the second mile and love your enemies? Chapter 5, verse 17 and following. How will you do that? How are you and I going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in a city set on a hill? Chapter 5, verse 13. How will you live out the Beatitudes? How will you be pure in heart and peacemakers and rejoicing in persecution? We cannot do those things without divine grace. For that we must pray. Or take chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount. How will you and I ever overcome anxiety? How will we learn to trust God and not be anxious about food or drink or clothing? Matthew 6:25. How will you and I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How will we be content with what we have and lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth, not serving money over God? How are we going to avoid hypocrisy so that we don't practice it to be seen by men? When we pray and when we fast and when we tithe, how will we stay humble? There is a Pharisee lurking in every human heart. We can't do these things without help, without divine help, without prayer. Here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus resumes the preaching, teaching on prayer because he is teaching us that only vital disciples of Jesus Christ can be forged through prayer. We need God's help, his power, his wisdom. So this brings us to tonight's first point in our sermon. We find this point rooted in chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, and the first thing we learn if we are to live renewed, revitalized, refreshed, reformed lives, overflowing with revitalization, the first thing is it requires, listen closely now, praying with persistence. Praying with persistence. Now here in verse 7, Jesus uses three verbs to describe prayer. The three verbs he uses to describe prayer are ask, seek, and knock. Three verbs. Now notice that all three of these verbs are actually listed in an increasing scale of urgency. It's a crescendo command, starting pianissimo and becoming forte, fortissimo. For example, maybe when your kid's mom, when your kids are looking for you, and they want to find you. They want to find you so that they can ask you a question. Where are my socks? Where are my socks? So they ask. Well, if mother is not nearby, then they go seek her to say, Mom, where are my socks? Well, if mother is hiding somewhere for just a few moments of peace and quiet in the solitude of her room, can she not just have a little break, please? The child walks up to knock on the door and say, Mom, where are my socks, my favorite ones? Do you get the idea? An ever-increasing crescendo of praying. Ask. Seek. Knock. The idea behind these three verbs and the present continuous Greek tense they're written in. Present continuous means ongoing. Present with the ing, praying. The idea between those three verbs is a crescendo of persistence. You ask God, and then you go seek God out to ask him, and then you knock again and again and again until the living God answers. That's the pattern. As the old saying goes, prayer works as you work at prayer. Again, prayer works as you work at prayer in a crescendo of asking. Now, the danger here, of course, is to confuse persistent praying with perfunctory praying, if you get what I mean, okay? Prayer should, yes, be continual, but we cannot allow it to become mechanical. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, the previous chapter, verse 7, Jesus warns us about that danger when he says, don't pray like the unbelievers do, the pagans do, with meaningless repetition. Do not simply pray out of duty. Well, I'm praying, I'm seeking, here's my daily prayer. That defeats the purpose of persistent prayer. Rather, in the spirit of that widow, pray again and again and again and again with passion showing sincerity. For example, a child may want something from mom and she says no, the child might persist. Will that persistence win her approval? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it aggravates her. But the one thing it does prove is the child really wants that item. And that's why God desires persistent prayer. God does not demand this kind of praying because he forgets you asked it yesterday. He doesn't demand that you persistently pray because he needs your reminding. God does not demand it because he is reluctant or needs convincing. God is always ready to give. The question is, are you ready to receive? And at times we need to be readied for the receiving by persistently bringing it to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father is not going to spoil his children. He is not going to shower us with presents that we really just don't desire or that aren't that important to us, whether we're ready for them or not. Instead, he waits until we recognize the need and turn to him with pleading sincerity, desiring a content heart, and praying. And persistence is one means of showing that sincerity. When you and I are praying with persistence, God knows we're ready to receive. We're ready. Now, we also see this in the parable of the unjust judge, which was read earlier in the service. Jesus introduces us to that parable. It's fun. It's fun that in that parable, he actually tells you the point of the parable before telling you the parable. So it's not that hard to interpret. He says, at all times, we ought to pray and not lose heart. We also see that same point in another parable, the parable of that midnight friend who knocks at the door and gets their friend out of bed. And at the end of the parable, Jesus says, yet because of his persistence, he will get up out of bed and give him as much as he needs. Luke 11, verse 8. Persistence shows God's sincerity. Persistence gets you ready to receive the very thing you're asking for. Pray with persistence for renewal, revival, and reformation in your heart, in your family, in your congregation, in the church at large, in the community, nation, and world. Pray with persistence. Our second point in this passage from our Lord Jesus, the first one being to pray with persistence, the second point is pray believing that prayer works. Pray believing that prayer works. Look at verse 8. He says here, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I find this fascinating. If you're a kid in cadets or girls club or Awana or whatever it may be, and you're memorizing verses for points, this is a great verse because it's the same verse again, just said a little bit differently. I remember memorizing it, and I was like, oh, man, verse 8 is going to be easy. It's saying the same thing as verse 7 almost, and it's true. In these two verses, Jesus puts the two commands together, the three commands together twice, and then at the end of each one, he promises to answer it. He promises to answer your prayer in verses 7 and 8 six times. He says, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock. And that means receive, find, open, receive, find, open. Six times. Jesus repeats it six times because by that he is teaching us that prayer works. Six times over, I'm telling you that you shall receive, find, open, receive, find, open. Prayer is not just for the elite. Prayer is not just for church leaders. He says this to everyone, to the masses in his Sermon on the Mount, whether they are high and holy or meek and lowly. Still, we struggle with believing in prayer because you and I live in a very material world. You and I, the worldview that we inherit all around us is that the only thing that is real is what you can see, smell, taste, and touch, that is physical, real. You and I in our culture have been trained to believe that reality is only what is visible. And that since prayer is invisible, and since prayer is speaking to the invisible God, that prayer does nothing. That is what our culture tells us. Instead, what our culture tells us to do instead of praying is to work. If you need something changed, work. If you need something to improve, work. Do something about it. Spend money. Organize people. But in this passage, Jesus says that is not how things get done. That is a modern lie. The Bible says that visible things are temporal, that invisible things are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. The Bible says, no, we don't walk by sight. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the Bible here teaches that by the authority of Jesus, if you and I ask him and keep on asking and seeking and knocking, then we shall receive. But if we do not ask, do not seek, do not knock, we will not. James put it aptly in James 4, verse 2. He said, we have not because we ask not. Next time you're grumbling about your life, next time you are in huge anxiety about the situation around you and you're mumbling and grumbling about lost hope and cold love and waning faith, ask yourself this question. Have you asked God for it? Have you prayed to God about it? When I've asked that question to myself, I am ashamed to admit that 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. Stop yourself right there and pray. Stop right there and ask, and then seek, and then knock. When Moses lifted his hands in prayer, the children of Israel prevailed in battle against those Amalekites. And when he began to tire and his arms drooped and he slackened in prayer, they began to fail. Exodus 17. When Daniel prayed for Israel's release from Babylon, the moment, the Bible says, the moment he prayed, God began to act. Daniel 9, verse 23. Dear church, prayer is not an empty religious exercise. It is not a ghostly activity that signifies nothing. It is, says Jesus, the means by which the divine God gives good gifts to his people. Prayer makes a difference. So we're to pray with persistence for renewal, revival, and reformation. Secondly, we're to pray believing that prayer works for renewal, revival, and reformation. And then finally, as we pray, Jesus says we are to pray with confidence. Now in verses 9 through 11, Jesus explains why prayer works. And he says that the God to whom we pray is actually our Father. Look at verse 9. He says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Imagine with me for a moment a child coming to their father for help. He wants some bread to eat. Will the father actually give him something that looks like bread but is actually poisonous? No. And even though you and I by nature are evil, parents still love their children and will give them good gifts. And so Jesus, arguing from the least to the greater, so will God, who is fully good. But what about when God doesn't give and we keep asking, seeking, knocking. Someone might pray, you know, I say, I prayed to pass an exam, but I failed. I prayed to be healed, but it only got worse. I prayed for peace, but the world's still filled with war. Prayer doesn't work. The best way to answer this question as we continue to pray repeatedly to God is to remember that the promises here of Jesus are conditional. Notice in our text the conditions of how God answers prayer. The text tells us first that God only gives, one, good answers. God only gives good gifts. Look at verse 11. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? And so here we see that ask and it will be given to you. It's not an absolute pledge to give you anything you ask, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Knock and the door will be open to you is not a promise that you can say, open sesame, because what if there is a lion behind that door? We cannot wave our prayer wand and receive anything we want regardless of its wisdom. That idea is ridiculous. It would turn prayer into magic. It would turn you into Aladdin and turn God into a genie who must appear every time you want good or bad. God only says yes to what he determines to be good. And if you haven't noticed, God's an expert at what's good. What's more, not only does God give good gifts, our text infers that God also determines that he will only give you safe gifts. Safe gifts. Now imagine that same child. Child comes and asks father and mother not for bread and not for fish, but actually asks them for rocks and serpents to eat. The first request could be nourishing, the second request very poisonous. No sane parent's going to give their child rocks and poison to eat and drink, even if the child asks. Have you ever later in life been thankful that God didn't answer one of your prayers, didn't give you one of those desires that you were very convinced you wanted? I remember when I was a child playing in the backyard at my house on Otten Road. I loved to play in the sugar maple tree behind our house. It was a great giant tree. Loved to climb that tree in the windy days and the stormy days, and the tree would blow, and so much fun. And I'd even play for many hours up there with friends, and I remember one day playing house in that tree with one of the neighbor girls. And I vividly, distinctly remember telling her, I wish we were grown up right now so I could marry you. But those are the wishes of a child, right? And she's a sweet neighbor. She's often with her own family and doing well. But aren't you glad that God doesn't answer everything you wish for? If God didn't say no, sometimes prayer could be very dangerous. If God always answered yes, prayer could become the equivalent of holding a loaded gun to our head and as we squeeze saying, this is what I want. Thank the Lord that this text says he only gives good gifts and safe gifts to his people. Let me close by asking you a question. What do you want? What do you want right now? Name it. Do you want good gifts as God defines good? Good gifts like being a man or a woman or a child of God. The gift of being poor in spirit, humble and meek. The gift of being the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill. to learn the grace of practicing your goodness in secret while you're laying up treasures in heaven, serving God over money, and trusting God and not being anxious about your life? Do you want to be wise and not a judge? Do you want to be all that you find discussed on the Sermon on the Mount? Well, that is very good. And if that is the kind of good you want in your life, you just start asking for it and you watch God supply. You persist in that prayer. You pray it again and again and again. You ask, then seek, then knock until you get that, what you want, and you're ready to get that, what you want. But dear church, make sure you know what you want and make sure it's good. Here's the second question. Do you really want that? A lot. If so, you'll persist. It will come naturally. No one will have to browbeat you into praying. You won't need to be scolded or exhorted. You will pray. You will plead for that Sermon on the Mount, life in Christ, for growth, for godly homes, for revival in the church, for transformation of community. And God, dear church, will give it to us when we are ready to receive it. Jesus lived, died, and rose again to give us this kind of access to heaven. Jesus invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't think that we're earning audience with God because we're so persistent or because we're so confident. Not at all. We earn audience with God, our Father, through the grace of His Son. But do not think you can enjoy that grace without persistence and without confident prayer. Persistent prayer is the means God ordains to bless us with every good and perfect gift from above. By God's grace, let us learn to persist in such prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Living God, we pray for the good and perfect gifts from on high. And we ask that you would grant them to us. We ask, we seek, we knock. We pray, O Lord, that the glory of God would cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done, that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray, O Lord, that all the good gifts of God would be ours and the gifts of those we love would be from your hand. We ask, O Lord, that you would sustain us in persistent prayer, that we would hunger and thirst after this kingdom of righteousness, and that we would see you grant answers to these very prayers. Renew, revive, refresh, reform, revitalize your church, begin in our hearts, through our homes, and around the world. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. Well, in a moment, we'll be receiving our tithes and our offerings, and then we will enjoy.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.